to everything turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time of love, a time of hate, a time of war, a time of peace, a time.
It's 8:45, and that means it's time for the Garden Conversation, which is underwritten by the bookstore, selling new and used books, cards, and art supplies on Main Street in Haines from 11 to 5, Tuesday through Saturday at 766-3356 and online at HainesBookstore.com. Good morning.
Good morning, Joni, and welcome back.
Oh, it's great to be back. Oh. We have Melissa and Selby in the Dina Selby in the studio this morning.
Yeah, so welcome, Dina, and Happy New Year to everyone. Today we're going to talk about indoor composting and New Year's resolutions for gardeners and ideas about what seeds to start in January.
Oh, okay.
So, Dina, you've had a countertop composter now for a while that you've been using. So tell us a little bit about it. How did you find out about the idea? Just tell us in general. Yeah.
Sure, Melissa. Yes, I for years I'd been walking around my yard wondering where I could put a compost bin and an electric fence, and there really just was no good place. So I started searching online and came across indoor composters. The sort of composter I'm talking about is about the size of a bread machine, and it will take your food scraps and warm it up, dehydrate it, and chop it up so that you put in your vegetable scraps and out comes flakes of dehydrated food. It's not truly compost because it's sterile, but once you take those flakes out, you can mix it with compost or with your topsoil. And it's a way to use up your food scraps and compost inside and make it a tenth of the volume that it would have been otherwise.
Very clever. Yeah.
So what happens to it, though, if it loses all its nutrients? It's just like filler in the garden or what?
It doesn't lose the nutrients. It loses any good bacteria that makes it the compost.
Okay.
And then once you mix it in with dirt, it then regains the nutritional value that compost would have.
So when it mixes in with the soil, then all of the little guys in the soil mix in, all the little guys.
I like that. Yeah. Is that a Lumi?
Lumi is one of the brands. Uh-huh. I chose Vitamix. And Lumi can actually do compost, but you have to add these tablets every time. And I wanted the easiest thing possible. Yeah. All you do is you put your food scraps in the bin, you stick them in the machine, turn it on, takes about 6 or 8 hours, and uses about the energy of a slow cooker in terms of how much electricity.
Like a crock pot type thing?
Yes, okay. That is used. And it's not loud at all. To me, it sounds about the same as my dishwasher when it's running. But there are other brands as well. Most of them are about the same size. And then if you're talking indoor composting, you could look at vermiculture as well, which takes no electricity and
the warm composting, which we've talked about many times on this show.
That's what Melissa does.
Yeah. Yes. And then there's also a sort of fermenting type of compost you can do indoors, but that uses a much larger container and takes about 4 to 6 weeks before it's ready. So for ease, I chose the electric composter, which really is a dehydrator making your food smaller thing.
So okay. does it smash it up into, does it mix it up and break it up too?
Yes, yes. The first step, it dehydrates, and then it's got these turning, rotating wheels that uh-huh. chop it up. So the pictures they show in their advertisement, it looks like coffee grounds, but really what mm-hmm. comes out is more flakes.
Oh, okay.
And then you want to let it sit and cure for a few days before putting it on your topsoil or on your indoor plants. You can put it on your house plants on the top. The only issue I found with sticking it straight out on the topsoil was my beagle used to go eat the dehydrated carrot flakes that ended up on the top. So you might want to mix it in the dirt a little bit.
Yeah, and if you don't have a beagle that eats food scraps, you might have birds that would come in and carry uh-huh. it off.
And so what yes. about those little bugs, those gnats? Are they attracted to it?
Only if you – I've never had that issue, but I've read online that if you take the foods – the dehydrated material out and stick it right onto your house plants, that might attract fruit flies and gnats. But once it's cured for a bit, it doesn't anymore.
Huh.
Okay. Yeah. So where did you find out about the idea, and where can you find information about the different brands?
Really, it was just Googling and the same for the different brands. You can research what it is.
So you Google like countertop composters?
Countertop composters, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. And you can put almost anything in them, but I've stuck with just vegetable and fruit scraps. You really don't want to put big animal bones or fibrous stuff like pineapple portions, or they don't recommend citrus as well.
And what about paper or anything like that?
Paper you can put in, but they don't recommend very much. It's not big. It's a 1 cubic foot, really, okay. the machine. So my pail holds not quite 2 liters, about 10 cups of material. So mm-hmm. I actually bought an extra pail. That way I have a pail next to my sink, and I have a pail in the machine. So I can still be filling up and swap them, yes.
Okay, but you could put in, like, used paper towels or
paper napkins
if you wanted to.
Yeah, they don't recommend a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's how I peel my potatoes and whatnot. I put the paper towel down and I
throw the whole thing in there. Yeah, yeah, okay.
And it costs mine was about $500. The loam you mentioned is more over 600, and there's some other ones as well, around $600 to $800.
Okay.
So all in all, I'm happy. Once in a while, I have to change out the filter that sits on top of the pail and that sits behind the machine, 2 different filters, about every 6 months.
Does it smell at all?
Not really, except I've gotten into making a lot of carrot juice. Mm-hmm. So when you put a lot of carrot peelings in, your house does smell a little bit like cooked carrots while it's going.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That sounds fine. Yeah. Yeah. And you've had this going for
a couple of years.
Okay.
And I am happy. And I tell you, in the winter, it's really nice. You don't have to walk outside to throw your compost out.
Yeah.
That would definitely be a plus for me, because right now I'm just throwing mine away. There's, you know, my pile is frozen under about 2 feet of snow. So
as long as you can find the pile, though, you can just throw the compost on the top, and when the snow melts, it'll.
But I'm risking life and limb on the
going
ice.
Out there.
Going out there.
There
yeah.
is that.
Yeah.
No.
There,
you
yeah.
use this. I have a separate container that I put the dried stuff in. It takes it's about. You have 1/10 of the size of the food when you're done, so you can really keep a lot in your second container that then when the weather's better, you go out and throw that finished container out.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so the little flakes that you were talking about, you could just store inside.
Yeah.
Take that whenever you wanted to. And the cost of the electricity?
It's about the same as a slow cooker, so minimal.
Okay.
Really, I would say less than $100 a year, which is what an electric fence is estimated to be. So if you have a compost bin outside with an electric fence, I would say it's comparable.
Oh, okay.
right.
That's a good comparison. Yeah.
That is a good comparison. Yeah. Unless you have solar electric fence.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. And then, of course, you got the price of the whole solar setup.
Exactly.
So. Yeah. 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 Okay. Well, that's great, Dina.
That is interesting. Yes. Thanks,
Thank you
Dina.
For sharing all of that. Yeah. Another way to do indoor composting is with vermiculture and red worms. We've talked about that option before, and if anybody wants more information, they can just contact me directly. And that's Aronson at aptalaska.net, so A-R-O-N-S-O-N.
S-O-N. Yeah. Okay, and you said that yours doesn't smell either.
Right, but I don't put any meat in it, no right. animal uh-huh. products, uh-huh. and it's just vegetative stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it has to be in a warmish place.
So I keep, yeah, vermiculture, you want to keep between 60 and 80 degrees.
Oh, my house is rarely that hot. I mean, I'll get up to 70, but.
Yeah, so it'd be fine in the house. And you could keep it in the house. I have a greenhouse attached off of my kitchen, which I love. Uh-huh. If you're designing a house, think about doing that. And I just keep it out there, take the veggie scraps out there. And then also because it's a greenhouse, any of the prunings from the greenhouse go right into to the worm bin too.
Nice.
And then I have a separate container for anything that I wouldn't feed the worms that I brave it out across the ice with the ice cleats on once in a while. Yeah. So New Year's resolutions. What kind of New Year's resolutions do you have? Joni, what have you come
up
with?
Well, I might as well put the number one on there that I never do, but I always think I'm going to do it, and that's keeping a journal.
Uh-huh.
another one was make my dirt better. You know, really pay attention to what I'm doing and become a better
pay
gardener.
Pay attention to the soil.
Right, a better gardener. And, I mean, there's always the other things, like finding out ways to get rid of the slugs and all that, which, you know, I mean, I try that every year, but...
Okay.
I have not found a complete solution to that one yet. But it's a work in progress always.
Yeah, it definitely is. And Dina, how about you?
I also hope to get my soil better as soon as spring comes and put seeds into the ground as soon as it is viable to do.
Okay. Yeah.
So you know that early.
Right. With those seeds in the ground, I have been reading that you can put certain seeds in the ground before the frost, you know, as soon as you can get the ground to open up and accept a seed.
Well, if you look at the back of seed packets, there's amazing amount of information on there. And sometimes it'll say you can plant as soon as the soil can be worked. Mm-hmm. And other times it'll say after all danger of frost is past. Mm-hmm. So kind of go with that.
Well, I kind of go with when the dandelions bloom, but that's kind of late, you know.
Well, that's really. Yeah, that's when dandelions bloom is when I put starts out.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, so I start seeds way before that. But we'll talk about that next month.
Ah.
Yeah. So I sent out an email to the gardener list that I have and got a bunch of other ideas. And if you want to be either added to the gardener list that I have or taken off of it, again, contact me, Aronson at aptalaska.net. So New Year's resolutions that came in from Blythe. She has a New Year's resolution not to buy fruit trees that she doesn't have a specific location to plant. And then she says she'd be breaking that resolution on January 2nd when she placed her new plant order, but it's the thought that counts. And, of course, we had Blythe in, a month or so ago talking about trees. So it's interesting that even the experts are still trying to work on things. Okay. And
from Cindy Jimenez.
Yeah.
She said she wants to save her own seeds.
Okay. And there's a lot out there about how to do seed saving. Joan Sizemore, every year I seem to make the same gardening mistakes. So this year I do have some resolutions. Use fresh soil for flower pots. In the past, she's reused the soil from the pits by adding bits and pieces of fertilizer or compost without any true measurement or ratio. Last summer, the soil was finally exhausted and the healthy seedlings didn't grow. She also is going to not start too early. That one's for her husband, who ends up crowded out of the house when the seedlings get too large to fit in the windows and it's still too cold to put them in the ground. Mm-hmm. All my friends who start later have their plants catch up in size within a few weeks. Anyway, without the domestic drama. Okay, and how about the next one?
Yes, Mardell sent in a resolution. I'm going to leave some space empty in spring planting so that I can plant turnip and radish in July after there's less chance of root maggot. I always think I'm going to do that, but I seem to fill it all up.
Okay.
Maybe I should plant it into the cover crop that can grow until I plant the turnips. Mm-hmm. So that's a thought.
Yeah, or spinach. So, yeah, we're running out of time here. So if you haven't ordered seeds yet, do so as soon as possible. If you can partner with a friend, you can save on postage or you can split a packet so you have fresher seeds.
Because you never need, 100 seeds of, a lot of tomatoes, for example.
Right, So share with the friends. And in January, it's time to really start thinking about planting some of your flower seeds, like alyssum, lobelia, lupin, pansies, that
what,
sort of
making seedlings inside?
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, that you're going to then transplant to hanging baskets or outside. So look at the seed packets for timing. And thank you, Dina, and thank you, Joni. Yeah. The light's starting to come back. Spring will return, I promise. I promise. Dina, thank you so much for coming on
thank
with
you for
us.
Inviting me.
And really appreciate that and your experience. And
right.
Thank you, Joni. Good to see you.
Oh, thank you so much for coming in. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Bye. Interesting conversation always on the Garden Conversation, heard every Thursday morning, every other Thursday morning now, because we're going to be doing the snow report right here on your community radio station, KHNS, Haines, Clukwan, and Skagway. It's 9:01, and that means it's time for the community calendar, which is supported in part by Canal Marine and Auto at 704 Union Street. Auto and snow machine repair, still outdoor equipment and supplies, and outboard marine service. Winter hours, Tuesday to Friday, 10 to 3. And appointments, you can call 766-2437. On this Thursday, January 5th, happy birthdays go out to Sarah Jean Richardson, Jordan Linfors, Diane Hosford, Thea Hahn, and Patience Nelson. And remember, if you'd like to hear your birthday or anniversary on the community calendar this year, email us at khns@khns.com.